don't stop, can't stop.
Carnell.
I want it. Can't stop, won't stop. Yes,
Carnell.
Love it. Don't stop, can't stop.
Carnell.
Yes, Dad.
What, cut off that damn TV show watching that ignorant ass shit? Got you messing up your homework, damn mixture show niggas. Making black folks look like damn fools. Talking about I love it. If it was your damn timetables, would you love that? How about loving some long division, nigga? Can't stop, won't stop bringing these damn L's home on your fucking report card. And somebody get the damn phone. Damn, I pay the bills. Can somebody at least answer the phone?
Then I got it. Hello? It's for you.
Hello?
Yo, what's good, fam? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 5 of the report. Now, for those of you who are new to this show, be mindful of the fact that this show does have an explicit tag on it. So don't listen to this ratchet shit with the kiddies around, alright? Be horrible parents without my assistance. Thank you. Do that shit on your own time. Now, with today's show, we got a lot of shit to cover. It's been 2 weeks. You know, we got Sarah Palin's daughter. She done written her memoirs already. Apparently, women are still believing that there's a shortage of good black men. Black folks got told to shut the fuck up in the movie theater. Chris Brown done went nude and dyed his hair blonde. Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston done went and raised another cokehead. Man, it's just a lot of shit going on. Now, of course, we got the weird news, and I got some more voicemails to respond to, and as always, the hip-hop and the R&B that your radio station should be playing. So let's get this ball rolling, fam. Real talk, all the time, on the Span Report Podcast.
You feeling good? Let me say alright.
And what up?
Alright.
Pooh Bear.
I'm feeling good, so I'm saying myself. Alright.
Claudia.
Alright. How gonna do this?
This one goes out to the baby girls in a rush growing up in this crazy world. Yeah, your brother on the road and he never home. I know you're feeling kinda sad now that daddy gone. You can't let it get you down, gotta carry on. We only lose things because it makes us strong. You always had my love and now you got a song from the biggest fan that you've ever known. I know you won't be little girls not for very long, and you ain't gotta have a man if you don't ever want. Cause I'ma make sure you got to it everything that you ever want, every tone that you've very own. Not to make it hard to respect, just really, 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 really hard to impress. It's a whole wide world for you to go and get your hands on. Until then, I just come and get your dance on now. Misunderstood, never had money, or you living good. If you're from the burbs, if you're in the hood, recognize where we come from. In my day, man, I did a little something. They like, how come you don't rap that? Cause that's a backtrack, and I ain't tryna backpack. I'm only moving forward, homie, that's that direction. A lot of shoulders lack that. I'm just tryna give it to him like sat nav. Now I know I'm gonna make her like a fat rat. That's cool, as long as he don't trap crack. Graduate from school and still let his pants sag. Never catch a case, know how to let his cash stack. Walk to the map, go anyway, tap back, man.
I'ma give you the lowdown.
Let's go. See you coming up. I'ma give you the low down, 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 all the way down. You ain't never worried about nothing.
could definitely get with this shit right here. That's like some shit I would listen to while I'm getting ready to go out for the night. Put me in the mood for a party. That was Coming Up by Lupe Fiasco featuring MDMA off of Lupe's newest album, Lasers. Go and get that shit, man. That's a damn good hip-hop release right there. And that brother fought hella hard to get that shit put out. I mean, I heard he went through a time of depression and even contemplated suicide while battling to get that Lasers album out, too. Now, I would hate to think that he was just going through all of this shit for some publicity. But you know what? If Atlantic Records was just going to sit on this album, they would have been some damn fools. But if Lupe Fiasco is going to go down as an alleged attention whore, let's talk about some real attention whores for a minute. This one coming in the form of the daughter of a former presidential or vice presidential candidate in the name of Bristol Palin. Yeah, the Dancing with the Stars chick is about to tell you about all the things that's happened to her in her grand total of 20 years on this earth. This chick is writing her memoirs. Yeah, you heard me right. The daughter of what was probably the dumbest vice presidential candidate ever is writing a book about her life. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't think that I'm ragging on her because she's young. That's not the issue at all. When I was 20, shit, I thought I was the greatest shit in the world too, and my story needed to be told, damn it. But what had I accomplished at 20 other than the fact that I was a college student having the time of my life at Tennessee State University? Not a damn thing. I mean, I hadn't graduated yet or nothing. So I'm resigned to the fact that I probably will never get a chance to write a book about what happened at the Q oil spill at the Armory back in the spring semester of 2000. And please believe me, that shit was epic. But, you know, apparently young Bristol is about to tell us all about what it's like to be a teen mom with a loser for a baby daddy. And she might throw in some tidbits about being on Dancing with the Stars and the whole thing of her mother being picked to run with John McCain for president. But the crux of the matter is still going to be about her and the fact that she was a young teen mom. Which leads me to another thing. The popularization of being a teen mom. You know, that shit has become like the end thing to do with shows on MTV called 16 and Pregnant and Teen Mom. And you got a lot of girls out here right now getting knocked up just in the hopes of getting on one of these retarded ass TV shows. The gossip magazines follow these little broads around like they're really fucking celebrities, and it feeds right into this madness. Everybody is looking to get their 15 minutes of fame, and unfortunately, they're using teen pregnancy as a vehicle to do it. Now, what I'm trying to figure out is, when did this teen pregnancy become some shit for us to promote as something to aspire to? Like, when did this shift occur? Because even though teen pregnancy is not something that's new, it for damn sure wasn't something to be looked at as glamorous or even something somebody wanted to be on TV for. I mean, shit, chicks used to hide their pregnancies for as long as they could out of shame or the fact that they felt like they disappointed their parents. But now, shit, having a baby can get you a spot on a TV show. It can get to gossip blogs, follow you around, documenting your every move. And it can even have publishers throwing money at you to publish your memoirs at 20. Even though you have yet to do anything of significance other than have a baby by a bum. Now, as a father, this kind of shit scares me, I mean, straight to my core, really. But we're coming up on the next musical break. And when I return, we got another problem child with Bobby Christina's cokehead ass to talk about. Chris Brown releasing his inner Cisco and plenty, plenty more show. So stick around.
You had all of my homies talking about you, and I thought it'd be cool if I got at you, so we can spend a little time. I can get to know you, tell me your name. I'm beginning to see the more we hang together. Baby girl, I like you, cause you're better than any average chick that I was rolling with. I knew it was love at first sight. I never met a girl like you before. I can count on you whenever I need to take it slow. How you be taking me up, up and away we go. You got my eyes so low when they damn near closing. Hey Hazel, I like you. Can't see myself without you, my sweet Hazel. Cause I think I'm in love, I'm in love. Hey Hazel, I like you. Can't see myself without you, my sweet Hazel. Girl, I think I'm in love, I'm in love. You be Sometimes people be telling me to let you go, but the bond I got with you is stronger than they even know. And just to prove it to you, girl, you know I love you so much. I hit the corner store for you and scrape the guts out of that. Just like the things you say to me when I'm feeling hurt. You pick me up when I go through it, that's why I put you first. When everybody be on me constantly stressing with words, you the one that I come running to ease my nerves. And I never met a girl like you before. I can count on you whenever I need to take it slow. You be taking me up and away we go. You got my eyes so low when they damn near closing. Hey Hazel, I like you. Can't see myself without you, my sweet Hazel. Cause I think I'm in love, I'm in love. Hey Hazel, I like you. Can't see myself without you, my sweet Hazel. Girl, I think I'm in love.
Take a look at them purple highlights in your hair. That's crazy. You know, usually I share you with my homies, but I think I'ma keep you all to myself. Today, yeah.
Hey Hazel, I like you. Can't see myself without you, my sweet Hazel. Cause I think I'm in love, I'm in love. Hey Hazel, I like you. Can't see myself without you, my sweet Hazel. Girl, I think I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love. Hey Hazel, I like you. Can't see myself without you, my sweet Hazel. Cause I think I'm in love, I'm in love. Hey Hazel, see myself without you, my sweet Hazel. Girl, I think I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love.
Yeah, man. Lil Lucky Charms actually had some shit I could roll with on that one. That was Lloyd with Hazel off of his Street Love album, if you wanted to go pick that up. Now, I know that Lay You Down song is supposed to be his last hit, but that was some of the most annoying shit I've heard this year. Add that to the fact that my daughter loves that damn song and has that shit on repeat far too often. But speaking of daughters, though, I'm pretty sure by this point most of you've heard about Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston's daughter, Bobby Christina, having some photos surfaced of her snorting some cocaine. Apparently, the apples ain't falling too far from the tree on this one. Shorty ain't even acknowledging that she got a problem. She's blaming the whole thing on an apparent ex-boyfriend who released these photos as revenge. I guess she broke it off with the dude because, according to Lil Bobby Brown, y'all, dude was only with her for her money. Now, the question I like to ask of her, and any other new crack and coke things here in the year 2011, is after about 30 years of watching what this drug has done to our communities and to our families, what the hell would possess you to even want to try it? I mean, hell, I got some dope things in my family. I don't really know too many people that don't have at least one crackhead in the family. You see them one holiday, and they look pretty good. You see them the next, and they ain't got no teeth because they done smoked them joints. Either that or they owe some money and they got the shit beat out of them, resulting in them having no grill. I mean, have you ever tried to watch your crackhead uncle with no teeth eat a bag of potato chips? Not a pretty sight. So, growing up seeing that shit, I never wanted to even try to see what that shit would be like. Not only that, I'm sure this young girl, because I think she just turned like 18 only recently, but I'm sure she's seen what drugs did to her mother and her father, and how far their careers have went to shit due to their drug use. I mean, does anybody even remember pre-crackhead Whitney Houston? I mean, like national anthem at the Super Bowl Whitney Houston? I mean, how about Bobby Brown with the Gumby haircut? Wait. Thinking back on that haircut, that nigga was probably getting high then too. I mean, he just didn't have an out-of-socket jaw yet, you know, shit wasn't floating all everywhere. Be that as it may, it's just sad to see the daughter actually embrace the worst of, you know, of her parents than to try to rise above that shit. And then go so far as to say that I'm my mother's daughter as a way to justify her drug use. I mean, is there anybody out there willing to bet me that this chick is going to end up on celebrity rehab by next season? I mean, especially with Whitney trying to make a comeback, you know, this would be good publicity. You know, they got the girl in rehab and it's looking like she's getting some help and the Houston name is out there and all that other good shit. No, you know, I guess they look at it as Some publicity is better than no publicity. But let's just hope this girl gets her shit together, because even though Charlie Sheen has done everything in his coke-riddled body to make being a celebrity crackhead seem cool, ain't a damn thing cool about a second-generation celebrity crackhead. You know, hopefully, you know, she can get her drug use together, get it out of the system, and I just hope this ain't yet another sad attempt to try to get some type of attention. But while I'm still talking about attention whores, your boy Chris Brown has managed to troll the internet for attention yet again. I mean, really. I was really hoping the whole blonde hair thing died with the career of Cisco, but apparently Chris Brown thought this would be a good look. Then to make matters worse, this fool leaked a picture of his dick on the internet. I mean, damn, man. I mean, is everybody following the Ray J path to stardom these days? Seems like every time you turn around, some desperate-ass celebrity is leaking naked pictures of themselves to generate some buzz about a new project, or to just get the folks talking about them. Remember last episode, it was Keisha Cole. Now it's this fool. And just when I was just getting ready to start rooting for this nigga again, and he goes and do this sucker shit. But then I started wondering, does this shit actually translate to more sales of their music? Like, has anyone ever did a study to find out the correlation between leaking naked photos of the artist and the success of their subsequent project? I wonder if that shit would work for this podcast. Nah, man. You won't find me leaking them shits. Not saying that there are any pictures out there with my dick out or nothing. You know what the hell I mean. But while we speaking on dicks, it brings me to another
Spann's Man Law.
In chapter 2, paragraph 2 of the Spann Book of Manliness, it says, "Man shalt not strike up a conversation with another man he does not know in the men's room while his dick is exposed. Anyone caught in violation of this law is subject to being chopped in the throat for the offending action." This has been your Spann Man Law update.
Spann's Man Law.
Yeah, man. I hate when motherfuckers do that shit. When I go to the men's room, I just want to get in, take care of my business, and get the hell out. We ain't got shit to talk about in there. Hell, half the time, I don't even want that bathroom attendant dude saying shit to me when I'm in there. Just let me wash my fucking hands. Thank you. But your man Chris is tripping, yo. Put that shit away, young fella. I don't need to know you that well. But I'm coming up on my next musical break, though. But I still got a lot of shit to get to. We got the Basketball Hoes reunion special, the Uncle Tom uproar that came from the Fab Five documentary, sisters still believing that it's a shortage of good black men. Let's just say we gonna be here a while. So stick around.
Just feel like one of them TV shows from the 60s. Oh, you can try when the villain come in. Oh, you can certainly try. My music represents the change of power. From now on, this thing is ours. Got a painting war instead of painting flowers. We shower the heroes with praises while we hanging hours. We bring the drums to the battle cause we bang the loudest. You don't know a thing about it if you mix the King and Malcolm. Bet you that quality the outcome. Album so hot that my ghetto chicks is bringing talcum. Whether you sing or shout it, they gave somebody else the crown, but I'm the king without it. Your queen is riding with me, she always sliding with me. You can't stop me like the bullets that's inside of 50. They try to diss me, but whenever I see body miss me. You walking with me or you alien like Mork and Mindy. You talking with me if the often empty. Take it off the table when the devil run the label cause the Lord is with me. Arrogance bring the fool of many. My name echo like the hall is empty. You don't want a war against me. Hey, this is the cut, I'm the surgeon. Assassinate your character, cast aspersion. You ain't got a verse better than my worst one. You ain't got a verse better than my worst one. Hey, I know it hurts, son, but you against me, a 50 cal versus squirt gun. You ain't got a verse better than my worst one. You ain't got a verse better than my worst one. Why? You and your man's a Lucas, you scare my medulla. You see beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm born ready. Steady as the hand of the shooter in the flesh. Yes, the embodiment of man versus computer. I make all the women abandon their suitors. Do the math, you see you can't measure up to the ruler. Word, on behalf of all the fans and consumers, I'm building with Fred Hampton Jr., man, we planning the future. Not preaching, we do it different, we lifting the youth up. We spitting it too tough, too sick for these new thugs. Goons, whatever they call, they softer than new fuck. Vampires in the club, sipping that true blood. I'm a midnight marauder and a slaughter for the tribe. Immortal arm busting at the cops like Mordecai. The sort of guy to mortify these clown ass rappers, sense fortified live. And you know it, man. Hey, this is the cut, I'm the surgeon. Assassinate your character, cast aspersions. You ain't got a verse better than my worst one. You ain't got a verse better than my worst one. Hey, I know it hurts, son, but you against me, a 50 cal versus squirt gun. You ain't got a verse better than my worst one. You ain't got a verse better than my worst one.
Yo, Sean Price, Mad Nights, accept that. My worst verse sound like your best rap. Put down your bent black. I pay double on trips, I punch you up in your face and double your lips. Blue. This be the dumbest shit I ever wrote. No Tupac Shakur, just two shots your floor. Listen, the gun clapper, the dumb rapper, the young rapper. Dig in your pockets and leave with your funds faster. Fucking new rap rookies get beat to death. No Jack Pookie. Face fuck with the eight stuck in the grill. Play tough and get scraped up in the veil. Afro-American minus the Afro. Bone-headed American letting the gas blow. Shut the fuck up before you get hurt, son. You ain't got a verse better than my worst one.
Hey, this the cut, I'm the surgeon. Assassinate your character, cast aspersions. You ain't got a verse better than my worst one. You ain't got a verse better than my worst one. Worst one. Hey, I know it hurts, son, but you against me, a 50 cal versus squirt gun. You ain't got a verse better than my worst one. You ain't got a verse better than my worst one.
Support that real hip-hop, y'all. That was Talib Kweli with Palookas off his latest album, Gutta Rainbow, so definitely get that shit when you get the opportunity. But for those of us who like to partake in the guilty pleasures of ratchet entertainment, the Basketball Hoes reunion special had you covered. I love watching these chicks, man. I just love the whole irony of the show. You got all these ex-wives, baby mamas, and ex-fiancés whose only real claim to fame was that they used to lay under a nigga who's, you know, who hoops for a living. Then they try their hardest to convince you that they were somebody of significance before they met the dude that qualifies them as a quote-unquote basketball wife. Then you follow that up with some of the most high school, cliquish, mean girl behavior of women that you wouldn't believe were pushing damn near 40, and you got a recipe for some ignorant shit to go down every time. Now, back in the first episode of the Span Report podcast, I talked about the naked photos of Jennifer Williams, the only wife on the show. That, of course, got photos quote-unquote leaked. And I thought she was going to be the hoe of the show for this season. Apparently not, though. Evelyn got that shit covered on all bases. And she only want the ballers, too. From Antoine Walker, you know, before he got broke, to Chad Johnson. I refuse to call that silly nigga some damn Ocho Cinco. To apparently being a homewrecker and fucking Kenny Anderson back in the day. Who just so happened to have been married to Basketball Hoes co-star, Tammy. Now, is it wrong that I wanted to see Tammy beat the brakes off that bitch for telling her I fucked your man and you were a non-factor? Like, could we have had the glory days of Jerry Springer relive for just that brief moment before security guards and producers swooped in before anybody could get in any good licks? That Tammy broad is flat out crazy. She would have wiped the floor with Evelyn's ass. It would have been a schoolyard fight between that fat kid and that skinny kid all over again. You know, with the skinny kid picking the fight and getting his ass slammed to the fucking ground. I would love to see that shit all over again. Weed flying everywhere and shit. But of all the people surrounding this show, I feel for Evelyn's daughter the most, though. You know, this shit is being watched on college campuses everywhere. And can you imagine walking in the student center at college and watching Chad Johnson carry your mother up the stairs to wax that ass? And then see your mama always, you know, almost get an ass whooped for fucking somebody else's dude. I don't think Evelyn was even thinking about that shit. Either that or she just didn't care. Hell, I follow all the Basketball Hoes on Twitter and she's just like Diddy. Always retweeting motherfuckers telling her how great she is and that she's the only reason they watch the show. But damn, where's your dignity? She gonna fuck around and force her daughter to have to get her degree online, like go to the University of Phoenix or some shit, cause it can get brutal on campus. They ain't gonna stop fucking with her. Selfish bitch. But speaking of selfish motherfuckers right now, how about some black folks is mad because they got asked to shut the fuck up at the movies? Now, when this story was first brought to my attention, I was under the impression that this happened recently. But apparently, this shit happened way back in 2007 at a Tyler Perry film, Why Did I Get Married? Why wasn't I surprised when I found out this was a fucking Tyler Perry film? They got, you know, whatever. Anyway, the theater owner told the patrons in the crowd to turn their phones off and remain quiet during the movie. You know, be courteous to motherfuckers trying to watch the movie with you. And one chick who was in the crowd just so happened to be the director of the Delaware Human Relations Division. Told everybody in the crowd that the theater owner's comments were racist and got all 33 people in the crowd judgments of $1,500. They came up. She got the theater fined for another $5,000. And then the theater had to pay for the human relations attorney's fees. And that came out to like another $20,000. Which, of course, was awesome bullshit, pretty much. Look, let's not act brand new, black folks. I'll never forget years ago, I went to go see Halloween 2, H2O at the theater. And niggas wouldn't shut up for shit. You couldn't hear nothing. And out of nowhere, this guy just got fed up and got out of his seat and yelled out, "Will y'all shut the fuck up?" And all that got him was laughed at. Nobody would have accused that dude of being racist. Hell, he was just trying to watch the movie that he paid his money to see. And I was in 100% agreement with that dude. Because if that lady behind me yelled out, "Don't go in there, Baldy," one more time, I probably would have been the one to tell them all to shut the fuck up. Hell, it's those type of movie-going experiences that led me to say fuck going to the movies altogether for a long time. I would have just watched the bootleg at my crib. Hell, I can get my microwave popcorn going, turn up the surround sounds on my big screen, get my lounge seating on my couch, and enjoy this movie with all the damn chat, you know, all the chatter and shit. Or if I did go to the movies, I went to the early show. And I never go on the day the movie came out or the weekend that movie came out, because you know that's when all the motherfuckers going to be in there talking stupid. Now, does that make me a racist because I would like to enjoy this damn movie without you talking to the screen, the motherfuckers that don't hear you? No. It just means I want to see this movie. And I would like for you to shut the fuck up while I do it. Either way, this bullshit case of racism was overturned in Delaware and the Supreme Court upheld the reverse decision. All I got to say is, it's silly shit like this that make actual cases of racism harder to prove because of all the bullshit cases being brought to the courts. Find some real shit to be mad about. Oh, and shut the fuck up so I can watch this movie, alright? We coming up on the next musical break. But when I return, we still got the Uncle Tom uproar that resulted in the Fab Five documentary, the never-ending myth of the shortage of good black men, voicemails and emails and more. So stick around.
Move closer, woman. I just wanna tell you something. We need to move. Girl, I really love the things you do. I'm looking at what you started. I ain't think about nothing else. I just wanna be by ourselves so we can. Oh, we need to roll. Girl, I got a place where we can go. Let me hit this last sip of Patron. Then it's on. Girl, your smile has me on the prowl. I'm saying it's cool in here, but we gon' need privacy for my ideas. I got some aches back at my place. And it's the middle of the summertime, so the pool outside will be feeling right. For some dipping, for touching, for some kissing, for hugging. Baby, I'm damn near bent, so I'm about to go all in. Tell her LA, on our way, coming on down, right about now. We need to move. Girl, I really love the things you do. I'm looking at what you started. I ain't think about nothing else. I just wanna be by ourselves so we can. We need to roll. Last
each other long enough to have a fun night or two. So let's not lose this alcohol influence. Yes, I want you all so bad. No more faking, just keep drinking. Stop the talking, get to walking. Oh girl, I'm damn near bent, but I'm about to go all in. Tell the valet, we on our way. Coming on down, right about now we need to move. Girl, I really love it.
Yeah, man. Joe up in the club picking up the ladies with the whole "I don't do this normally, but this liquor got me acting a little different. But while I got your attention, why don't we go to the crib and smash" routine. That was Joe with "We Need to Roll" off of his new Man album, if you wanted to go pick that up. But to switch gears here a little bit, I want to take a stab at this controversy that was popping off damn near all of last week with the Uncle Tom statement that was made by Jalen Rose in the recent documentary about the University of Michigan's Fab Five, which was arguably the best recruiting class ever in college basketball. I say arguably because I'm sure somebody would disagree, but whatever. Anyway, in the documentary, Jalen Rose was speaking about his perception of the Duke basketball program and their way of recruiting players leading up to his decision to play for the University of Michigan. And here's what he said.
For me, Duke was personal. I hated Duke, and I hated everything I felt Duke stood for. Schools like Duke didn't recruit players like me. I felt like they only recruited black players that were Uncle Toms.
Okay, now listening to that, I hear a man talking about past feelings. You know, he used words like felt instead of feel. He said it was personal instead of it is personal. He said he hated instead of I hate. All of these things would lead most people with common sense to believe that he was speaking about a past feeling, a past experience. That these were the feelings of an 18-year-old kid as opposed to those of a 38-year-old man. Those 15 seconds of that 2-hour documentary was the most talked about portion of the entire thing. But to make things more interesting to me was all the white folks that were so upset that a black man would have the audacity to insult another black man by calling him an Uncle Tom, which to me was flat out bullshit. Some of our Caucasian friends just wanted to have something to say, and this moment provided them with a slim opportunity to say so. Now, naturally, the focus went to Grant Hill, who was the most talented and biggest name black player for Duke at the time. And to some extent, I can understand you wanting to stand up for yourself and your name when someone calls you out on national TV and says that you're an Uncle Tom and a bitch. So Grant Hill wrote an op-ed piece for the New York Times in response to the documentary. But after reading the op-ed piece, I wonder if Grant Hill even saw the documentary before sitting his ass down to write his response. Because it was apparent that Grant completely missed the point, that this is what the Fab Five thought of him before they really knew him. Grant wrote the Times making it out like Jalen Rose had just called him an Uncle Tom and still thought of him as an Uncle Tom. And that because Grant came from an upper middle class upbringing with two college educated parents that were both highly successful, that this is what made Grant Hill an Uncle Tom. If only he had just sat and watched. Because not even 20 seconds after Jalen spoke about his perceptions of the Duke program, he spoke about how envious he was of Grant Hill. Check this out.
I was jealous of Grant Hill. He came from a great black family. Congratulations. Your mom went to college and was roommates with Hillary Clinton. Your dad played in the NFL, was a very well-spoken and successful man. I was upset and bitter that my mom had to bust her hump for 20 plus years. I was bitter that I had a professional athlete that was my father that I didn't know. I resented that more so than I resented him.
Now, does that sound like a man that still harbors a grudge or a dislike for Grant Hill as a person? Does that sound like a man who still thinks of Grant Hill or any other black player at Duke as an Uncle Tom? Because it sure as hell don't sound like it to me. Actually, it sounds like quite like the opposite. You know, Jalen Rose wasn't saying that coming from a two-parent household makes you an Uncle Tom. He wasn't saying that going to a good school made you an Uncle Tom either. I mean, some of you gotta remember, the University of Michigan ain't exactly no damn community college. They got some pretty high academic standards there too. Trust me, I tried to go there. I was fifth in my graduating class in high school with a 3.7 GPA, and I still got rejected to go to that motherfucker. But then again, This is why I think Grant Hill missed the point and let himself be made to look like a complete fucking sucker to a lot of people because his response was so completely off the mark. And it was funny to me that some white folks had so much shit to say when it came to Jalen Rose making the Uncle Tom reference, but they didn't have shit to say about the racist letters that those dudes received from University of Michigan alumni. They didn't have shit to say about Dick Vitale talking about how different the Michigan players look. They didn't have shit to say about all the announcers who talked about them playing quote-unquote playground basketball as if they couldn't understand an offensive system. None of that shit got any meaningful dialogue. Motherfuckers the world over got caught up in Jalen Rose saying Uncle Tom. And for some of these white folks, this fake-ass outrage was kind of troubling, but at the same time a bit funny to me. Because I knew the vast majority of them, they really didn't give a shit. Especially about Jalen Rose saying Uncle Tom. What some of them were mad at was not only did Jalen say that in reference to someone that most white folks like, but in some way they were jealous that they can't say that without being seen as racist. It's almost like how white folks bitch about black folks calling each other nigga, but they can't. Or how dudes get pissed about women calling each other bitches, but they can't. You know, they just upset that they can't participate in those particular insults. And they really could give a shit about Jalen Rose or hell, even Grant Hill for that matter. Needless to say, that whole controversy was one that shouldn't have been. If motherfuckers had actually sat their asses down, listened to what was being said, and applied some common fucking sense. But you know what they say? Common sense ain't all that common, you know? We're coming up on the next musical break, though. But when I return, I got the voicemails and some emails, and the weird news is coming up. So stick around.
I don't know what the hell that is. Should've just called Puff for the fucking instrumental. Fuck it. No time for that, boy. Hey. Cold word. Yeah, they say we living in troubled times. Hey, do you see the trouble signs? Hey, life's a bitch, and I'm cuffing mines. My dough in flip mode, what up the Busta Rhymes? I used to never see green, I was colorblind. Now I get my hustle on, pay dues like a hearse alarm. My way like a Ursa song. Higher power, where these verses from? You niggas hoes, put your purses on. Church, get your worship on. Born alone, work alone, die alone. Hot fire like dialone. Bitches get they die alone. Fake niggas get diatones. I ain't no Viacom, nigga, I'm a firearm. Nigga, look how I alarm niggas. Watch my dope pile along till it's like a mile long. Niggas couldn't feel my shoes, couldn't even try them on. Showed your little ass look, that's how you take it. Two-faced and niggas couldn't tie my shoelaces, boy. Cold world, hey, that was the warm-up, this is the blow-up. Now if you ain't talking no bread, boy, ain't no need to show up. Man, they say I'm reppin' the veil too much, but fuck it, so what? With my niggas carryin' toys like they don't wanna grow up. With my sisters drinkin' like fishes and won't even throw up. Let's pull up, get tow up, know the police gon' show up. I slow up. Some niggas ain't got no luck. Some niggas can't get no love. Some of them can't get no bucks. So tell me, what do a nigga do if he can't get a job? My brother got him an interview, but he can't get a ride. What's up, guy? No, this ain't no Wu-Tang shit. This is my little fire drill, just some routine shit. Just to shoot fiends with and hold them off a little longer. Every verse I write, I swear I'm only getting stronger. Can you ponder? Imagine what my shit gon' sound like if I told you that the warm-up was just a sound bite. Damn right, believe I put it down right. And I'll be sure to tell you little niggas what that crown like. I showed you love, I brought you through, I gave you pounds, right? And in my space, you knew your place, and so you smiled, right? So why I'm here now, you talking like a little girl. You sound like Whitley, nigga. Me, I'm from a different world. Your shit is garbage. If I drop you, I'm a little bug. Busy getting money, I ain't fucking with that Twitter girl. Fuck what they say, wishing me harm and sorrow. They here today, bet they be gone tomorrow. They catching Z's on me, and we gon' call them Zorro. I let you sleep today, but it's on tomorrow. Yeah, I said it's on tomorrow. I'm coming for the game and I ain't talking loan or borrow. Pray for the days I could cash checks and never worry. This the last stretch on my half step from legendary. What? Cold world, nigga.
realest.
Yeah, man, that shit right there was hot. That was J. Cole with the last stretch off his mixtape called The Blow Up. Go cop that shit, man, if you ain't already got it. Hell, go cop all of this cat's mixtapes, man, because all of them are tight as shit. But it's time to go into the mailbag real quick and check out some of these voicemails and emails to see what the people got to say.
What's up, Squad? This is Brother Stokes, man, from Baltimore. You know, I've been always supporting you through your YouTube channel. Man, I just wanted to say, you know, congrats on your podcast, man. You're doing big things. The hell with the haters, man. It's one thing I want you to bring up for me, man, if you can. I got my cousin here, man, that's sitting here comparing LL Cool J to Lil Wayne, comparing Lil Boosie, whoever the hell he is, to, you know, other rappers like Nas. You know, what the hell is going on in hip-hop, man? If you could just straighten this out for me, man, because I'm not with this Waka Flocka, Maka Laka Ha, Mika Hidey Ho bullshit, man. I like real hip-hop. Please school this boy. I think we're going to have to put his ass in the basement and show him what hip-hop is.
Yo, what's good, Square? You know, it's always good to hear from one of the brothers, man. I appreciate you watching the Span TV videos, man, and supporting that and listening to the podcast, brother, no doubt. But let's get to your little cousin, though. I gotta ask first, how old are they? Because a lot of this is generational, even though hip-hop is one of the youngest genres of music. And one of the things about hip-hop that I never quite liked is how easy it is for these young kids to dismiss the pioneers in the game. And I know the lack of youth appreciation for older things goes well beyond the realm of hip-hop. But it's so easy for the youngsters in hip-hop to just flat out diss something because of his age or because it's not hot right now. I spoke about this a little while ago with a blog post on my Facebook page about Joe Budden getting into a beef with hip-hop legend Grandmaster Melly Mel. When this fool actually asked the question, who's heard Melly Mel rap recently? As if the fact that Melly Mel, you know, was no longer actively out there like he once was, then diminished his contribution to the game. And in no other genre of music does this happen as often as it does with hip-hop. I mean, think about it. Michael Jackson will go down in history as the greatest entertainer of all time. But before Michael Jackson passed on, could you imagine Usher or Justin Timberlake talking about who's heard Michael Jackson sing recently? Or who's seen Michael Jackson dance recently? Or if somebody like John Mayer actually had the audacity to say, who's heard Prince play the guitar recently? You look at their asses sideways. But the only way these kids is going to learn, man, is if the older generation actually takes the time to teach them. Expose them to some of that older shit, man, and let them know where some of these newer cats stole a lot of their fucking concepts from. You'll be surprised at how he might start to like some of the shit that he's calling himself turning his nose up to now. Thanks for the call, Brother Stokes, and I look forward to hearing from you again soon, Square, no doubt. Now, let me get to this next message real quick.
Hey, Mr. Stan. This is Scan from the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. I had to call. I love the last episode. Honey, it took everything in me to keep my face straight at work when you was talking about balls. Oh, my gosh, I felt like I was, like, in the fourth grade sitting in class, and the teacher had, like, the board where she was pointing, and she was like, this is the breast, and this is the vagina, and this is the penis, and some of us down say, balls! Oh, my goodness, it took all of my strength not to just bust out laughing. So I was giggling with you the whole entire time. And also, when you were talking about the pics, man, move away from them. Don't hate on the people. I'm down south. So, yes, it's like 70, 80 degrees here. I be grilling outside while folks be in the snow and things like that. I understand it makes people mad, but you got to understand, it's wonderful down here. Get out of that cold-ass place up there and come down south where the weather is warm. Don't hate, don't hate, don't hate. I got love for you. Love the show. Enjoy the show. Keep up the good work, man. And I hope that the show blows up bigger than you ever dreamed. Have a good one. Peace.
My girl Karen, what's good, fam? Man, let me tell you, y'all don't understand how hard it was for me to try to get through that article without cracking the fuck up. That was just one of those things that was just naturally funny, and that's probably why that man's name ain't going up on that building. I would love to see them actually have the balls to go through with that shit, though, and put his name up there. Nah, you know, that whole thing about the weather, though, I ain't hating, man. I swear I'm not hating. I love the South. I went to college in the South. I never forget my freshman year at Tennessee State, getting up to go to, I had an 8 o'clock in the morning class, and my roommate was from Alabama, and he was looking at me talking about ain't no classes, you know, you don't see all that snow out there. And I went to the window, and I looked out, and there wasn't shit but an inch of snow on the ground. But that inch of snow was enough to shut Nashville down. And, you know, I'm from the North. I'm used to going to school in Chicago and Detroit. Hell, it took at least a foot of snow to shut the city down like that. But that day, I was feeling a little orny. I mean, you know, y'all saw them pictures that I put up on Twitter about the snow. I got to walk through that shit for about 5 to 7 miles on average every day. So, nah, I was a little perturbed by my folks texting me pictures of them sipping on mimosas and barbecuing and shit. I was like Jalen Rose, jealous of the motherfucker. But I got a friend from my high school, you know, that he don't get, you know, move down to Atlanta, and he's been down there for about 5 years trying to get me to move down there. And if I didn't have these other commitments, my ass would be down there for two, you know, no doubt. But thank you, Karen, and you know I fucks with y'all over at the Black Guy Who Tips. Thanks for all the love you guys show and for helping me to keep from losing my mind when I'm out on the job. Oh, and let Rod know I ain't mad that they got cable in jail. I just don't want my people to go to jail and get comfortable in that motherfucker. Do what you can and get your ass out, not set up shop. But thanks again for the call, Karen. I'll be getting at you guys real soon. I would love to have you guys on the show one day, no doubt. Now let's see what other messages we got off up in here.
Hey, what's going on, Mr. This is your boy, Vance. This from, I got video call school days. I just hopped on your shit when I was listening to Haiti Rossi, and I heard about this. So I'm just, yo, keep doing what you're doing. Yo, just keep doing what you're doing. And shit, support school days. Peace.
Yo, what's good, Banks, man? You know, I really do appreciate you checking out the show, brother, and I'm glad you enjoying it, man. Real talk. But be careful leaving them messages, though, bruh, because it sounds to me like you was leaving this message while you was driving. Don't get no tickets on account of me, fam. I can't help you pay for them boys, you know what I'm saying? But about your video, though, I mean, I'm going to need you to shoot me the link to your joint to my email address at thespanpodcast@gmail.com so I can check you out. You know, I ain't never got no problem checking out the homies, man, and supporting the homies that help support me. So shoot that to me at thespanpodcast@gmail.com so I can check you out, brother. Real talk. Thanks again, fam, for listening. I hope to hear from you again soon, man. Okay, that's all the voicemails that I got. So let me get into some of these emails real quick. I'm gonna get to this Twitter request first, though, because I've been mentioning this all throughout the show, and one of my friends on Twitter, Belle Nikki, was telling me about a discussion that she was having with her class about the shortage of black men, and she wanted me to, you know, give my thoughts on it. And I'm gonna do it real briefly because, you know, this could be a whole show in and of itself with a round table discussion and everything. But to me, it just seems like a lot of this perceived notion that there's a shortage of available black men is more so a media creation. I mean, we get hit over the head all the time with statistics about brothers being locked up, about how women overwhelmingly outnumber brothers on college campuses, about how 70% of black women are single. But never do we ever really go behind those numbers to find out why they are the way they are. You know, did they talk to the brothers who decided to go to trade school instead of going to college? Did they talk to the sisters and ask her, was her being single a result of her actually seeking a mate or her not seeking to be in a committed relationship? I mean, there's a whole lot of different variables that goes into this. But to get back to the point, though, I think the term good black man is entirely relative. Well, one woman may find in a man that makes him, you know, quote unquote, good. Another woman may just as soon find something wrong with just what this other chick thinks is good about him. So it just means that some of the sisters have, you know, it doesn't mean that there's a shortage of good black brothers. It just means that a lot of sisters done shorten their potential dating pool. But I'm sure a lot of women have guy friends that would actually be a really good guy to be with. But they kind of put him off into this friend zone, and they look at him more like a brother than a potential mate. And, you know, that good black man, more often than not, is closer than you think. Some sisters just have to pay better attention to find them, and that's pretty much it. Thanks for the topic, though, Nikki. And, you know, shit, keep them coming. You know, I'm always looking for more, what you would say, intellectual discussion. What else we got up in here? Okay, the homie Digital Lefty left me something in here. Let's see what's to it. Music lovers can now be immortalized when they die by having their ashes baked into vinyl records to leave behind for loved ones. A UK company called And Vinyl is offering people the chance to press their ashes in a vinyl recording of their own voice, their favorite tunes, or their last will and testament. Minimalist audiophiles might want to go for the simple option of having no tunes or voiceover and simply pressing the ashes into the vinyl to result in pops and crackles. The company was founded by Jason Leach, who co-founded the techno group and record label Subhead in the 1990s, and has since founded a number of other labels, including House of Fix, Daftwork, and Death to Vinyl. Leach explained to Wired.co.uk that there were a number of factors that made him launch the service, including thinking that he was getting a bit old and might not be invincible. His mother also started working at a funeral director. She started working at a funeral director's, which brought the whole funeral process closer to home. A third prompt was when he saw a TV program that showed someone in America putting their ashes into fireworks, which made him think about how he might want to be remembered. And he says it's a bit more interesting than being a pot on the shelf. Okay. Then that was the article. Okay, and this is the rest. Okay, Mr. Span, this asks me to a question of what song do I want to be pressed into when I die, assuming this is what I choose. My first thought was Run DMC, the King of Rock. Then I thought of my Latin heritage and thought Carlos Santana, Eva Ways, or Tito Puente. Oye, como va? Man, please excuse my Spanish. I failed that shit miserably in college and in high school. But in the end, I went with Parliament Funkadelic, Flashlight, which was my anthem growing up in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, New York. I give you much respect to on your new podcast, which I will follow from here on out. Shout out to Haterazzi for the direction that brought me to your unique show. Couldn't help but steal your line while giving you props. Digital Lefty, the beast from the Northeast. Much respect from Maine, USA. Yes, there are some brothers that can stand this cold. Regards, DL. Okay, man. Okay. You know what? That actually sounds like some pretty cool shit. I honestly don't know what songs I would use to, you know, make people want to remember me by. I'm an old school R&B cat, though, so I probably have some Isley Brothers on there. Maybe even have a couple tracks by my granddad as a tribute to him, too, you know? But needless to say, that's original as hell, no doubt. And I thank you, brother, for listening to the show and supporting the efforts, not only here, but over at Haterazzi as well, man. Thanks for the email, brother. Now, let's see. I got another email here from the homie Scotty Digital, and I did get a chance to listen to this, Scotty, and it will be on the next episode of the podcast, no doubt. I ain't forgot about you, brother, for real. Thanks for sending this my way, though. But that's all for my email so far. I ain't got nothing else in here. And it's about time for the next musical break. But when I return, I still got the weird news left to get to, and we're gonna wrap it up, so stick around.
I've never felt like this. I let down my guard and then I fall for you.
Yeah, man, that's some smooth shit right there. Now, I'm going to tell you, little homie, something. I'm going to put it to you like this. You can either play this type of shit and put that woman in the right frame of mind to get close, or you can put on some of that Waka Flocka shit to see if she don't try to rob your fool ass. It's your choice, trust me. Now, that was Marsha Ambrosius off of her latest album, Late Nights and Early Mornings, and that song in particular was called Your Hands. Add that shit to the collection. You'll thank me later, trust me. Well, let's get to some of this weird news real quick. Police in northeastern Pennsylvania say they recovered more than 50 bags of heroin, cash, and loose change from a woman following a cavity search. Authorities say 27-year-old Karen McAlunas, or whatever, however you pronounce that, was detained last weekend following a crash. Scranton police say they found 3 bags of heroin in her jacket, and after being taken to the police station, she told investigators that she had more hidden in her vagina. A doctor performed a search and recovered 54 bags of heroin, 31 empty bags used to package heroin, prescription pills, and $51.22. McAlunas was jailed on $25,000 bail on charges including possession with intent to deliver a controlled substance. It was not clear if she had an attorney, and a preliminary hearing is scheduled for Monday. Okay. I guess old girl just said to hell with carrying a purse, huh? I mean, what does she need with a Coach bag when she got this big-ass pussy to carry shit around in? How the hell they even know they got everything out? I mean, seriously. Judging from the list of shit that she had in there, she probably could have had a few niggas in there, too.
That's why I be trying to tell my brothers, when you running from the cops, don't hide in no fucking closet. Hide in the pussy. Just say, look here, baby, I need to get in your pussy for a minute. I'll explain it to you later. Craig, what you doing in here, man?
I knew that story reminded me of something, man. Let's get on to this next story, though. This shit right here is pretty much breaking news. Chris Brown decided to act like a complete ass today at the Good Morning America studios after getting all agitated by questions about him beating the brakes off of Rihanna a couple years ago. This dude trashed the dressing room, broke a window, and supposedly stormed out the ABC studios without a damn shirt on. I guess this nigga is just putting it out there that he really don't want to have a career with stupid shit like this. And who's to say what's going to happen to this dumbass, since technically the dude is still on probation. Somebody get that nigga like some intense counseling, some anger management classes, and a public relations consultant that can help this boy get his shit together, because the dude is losing it. I mean, hell, anytime you put that platinum blonde shit in your head, man, nigga is just like off. Okay, though, last story. This dude, Charlie Sheen, I'm going to go out here and say I guess he's giving crackheads hope everywhere that they can not only be on drugs and be known fiends, but if they act like they just high on themselves, they could actually get the job back that they were very publicly fired from. Apparently, Sheen was like offered his job back on the 2.5 Men show. Some shit I ain't never fucking seen and never really thought much about until all of this damn Sheen media obsession. This motherfucker actually sold out the Fox Theater here in Detroit, and they don't even know what the fuck he gonna do when he puts the show on. Is it stand-up? Is he singing? What the fuck is he gonna be doing? He sold that shit out in one day. Can you imagine a million crackhead march on Washington led by this motherfucker for, you know, to help other crackheads get their jobs back, though? The way this motherfucker be getting in, hell, even I'm starting to believe he might be onto something bigger than drugs. It's either that, or white folks done forgot that the Sheens ain't really white folks and keep giving this dude a pass because of their, you know, apparent confusion about him being white. I mean, he does look more white than John Boehner. John Boehner tans like a motherfucker. He looks orange as shit. So maybe that's why they keep doing it. But you know what it is, fam. It's time for me to get up out of here. But in the meantime, let me remind you how you can get at me here at the Span Report and let your voice be heard. Of course, you can always hit me up at the Span Report hotline at area code 313-288-0485 and leave me a voicemail message there that I can listen to and respond to right here on the show. Or if you got any news articles or any topics that you want me to talk about, you can shoot me an email at thespanpodcast@gmail.com. That's thespanpodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. These are the best ways to get your stuff to me for the show. I know sometimes some of you send me stuff on Facebook and Twitter, but I tend to miss some of it because it's all over the place and I got a lot of stuff going on here on this end. This way, I get everything all in one place and it's easier for me to respond to you that way. So, you know, definitely try to check it out that way. The Span Report Podcast, the Span Podcast at gmail.com and the hotline 288-0485. Yeah. That's not to say that you can't get to me on Twitter, though. Hit me up on Twitter, follow me, start trending topics involving me or about me. Hell, do whatever. My name on there is, of course, Mr. Span. That's Mr._Span. And I'm thinking about revamping thespanreport.com and coming up with a different format to make it more user-friendly. And I'm also trying to get things set up for the Span Report podcast Android app. So I'm really trying to make this show as accessible as possible. But I think I plugged enough stuff for today, though, fam. And it's about time for me to check on out of here and go get at these ladies. So until next time, fam. Peace.
Hey. Come here, Miss Lady. Check it out. Well, meet me halfway then. Damn. Damn. Check this. Look. I already know your name is Shayla. Because I see you on the front of Players Magazine in the May edition. And then they're going to kill you to give me your number. What's happening? Can we hook up later or something? Thank you. I like the way that you don't say much. And when the homies give you phone numbers, you don't stay in touch. With that proper little mystique about your ways, about your style that got your boy dazed. Now I'm digging in my game sack to see where you at. And I'm pushing all the buttons that make you come exact. I know you recognize I'm young and I'm gifted in black. That should be enough to have you sprung and fidget in your cap. But yet you play it off swell to see if I'm gonna give up on the pursuit of your tail. But even if you knew that it ain't all I wanted was just to bone it, I still detect an ego tripping, baby, you own it. But you don't understand, I know parts of you that you do not. And I can penetrate you right down to your thum-thum spot. Because I'm talented, I'm young, and I got a lot of wealth. And I'm the bomb, baby. Now what you tell me about myself?
Whatever you do, cause you got it.
Who got it?
I got it. And I'm gonna make you give it to me.
Sing it to me.
Whatever you do, you make me wanna touch myself whenever I'm with you. Cause you got it.
Say what?
And I'm gonna make you give it to me.
Go to my house, we don't need the hotel. Now lay down by my fireplace and drink Zinfandel. While I massage your feet and you massage my neck. And I won't even make a move on you long as you got self-respect. Now check it, I wanna see what you look like in my spot. With nothing on your body but your panties and bra. Grand Marnier flavor down your neck and your back. Aha, didn't know the Krista could do it like that. You're acting different on the liquor, baby girl, is that you? The way your eyes sparkle when I bit your tattoo. You're rugged but soft, baby, you're subtle but fierce. And you gotta like pleasure and pain with your navel pierce. But I appreciate you, lady, cause you're making me wait. Even though that little game you playing's much out of date, I'ma save it for next time, and I hope you will too. Cause I like the way you do what you do, baby girl.
Whatever I do, yourself whenever I'm with you, cause I got it.
Girl, do you know how bad I am?
You make me wanna give it to you.
Now, give it to me.
Whatever I do,
whenever I
make you wanna touch yourself whenever I'm with you, cause I got it. You make me wanna give it to you.
You know you want.
want it. I can see it in your face that you would rather be somewhere with me, taking off your lace to a bikini, shaving pubic. I'm a diamond, he's cubic. You gave him your love and he blew it. Move, let me do it, because my love is like fire and ice. I'm like bittersweet, me and my peaches, and you and your pretty feet. Knowing if I lick your tummy, then I could get closer while I'm urging you to drink this mimosa. Because you know that I got the skills to make you get them crazy leg spasms by helping you to reach multiple orgasms. You hear me?
That's right.
Now feel me.
That's right.
You know what's happening. So hit me on my hip when you wanna get it, and I'll be over there in 20 minutes to hit it. Just as long as you stay cool and you stay true, and just keep on doing whatever you do, baby girl.
Whatever you do, whatever you do,
whatever
you do.
Maybe we can go to the beach.
Whatever
you know, like,
I do,
just play in the water.